Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear a portion of the gospel lesson again from John chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed. So the disciples had troubled hearts. Peter was just told in the previous chapter that he would be a failure. He would deny Christ. All the others were told that Jesus, who they had put all their hope in, was leaving, and they would not be able to follow. And they were fully expecting Jesus to get arrested and die. Somehow the resurrection prediction didn't register with them. So their hearts were troubled. And we also have troubled hearts. We know we have been and will be failures in one way or another because of sin and a sinful world. We also might think it would be nice to have Christ here, kind of in the way that he was back then, and that might be helpful to us. But he's not here in that way, even though he's here in different ways for us today. We do, however, unlike them, know that Jesus would and did come back to life, that he was resurrected. But still, there is much in our own personal lives, the lives of our family members, the lives of fellow church members, that cause us to have troubled hearts. And the solution that Jesus gave them back then and also gives to us today is very simple. He says, believe in God, believe also in me. But it is a belief that has things attached to it. Jesus explains to them what such a belief points to, grasps, and brings about. He states what is attached to or comes along with that faith. And it is these things that faith points to or grasps that will calm a troubled believer's heart. So three things that Jesus mentions here. First of all, as I just read, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. So let's just take this apart phrase by phrase a little bit here. My Father's house. House is not only referring to heaven, but also to a family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we, through faith in Christ, have been adopted into this family. So one day you will be going home to family, the best family. I think most everybody understands the value of family. Even those people who haven't had the best family life know how precious and important a family is. And the family we're talking about here, of course, is the perfect family to which we will go home one day. Many rooms. It's been translated a number of ways. Mansions, dwelling places, places of abode, lodging places. Mansions is not the best translation, especially as we understand how we think of mansions today, but I would like to point out something that's kind of interesting here. This word over time did come to be used for monasteries. And some of these monasteries, these Christian monasteries in Europe and Western Asia, are some of the most beautiful and peaceful places in the world. You think of their setting. A lot of them are in the mountains. You think of the buildings, just gorgeous building. You think of what's inside. A lot of them have these paintings of Christ, his birth, his life, his crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension, his coming again in all his glory. In other words, it's kind of like these monasteries are pictures of heaven. You know, if I were not married, if I didn't have children, if I didn't have a call, I might go live in one of these monasteries that are so beautiful and peaceful. Of course, no matter how beautiful and peaceful a monastery is, you know, they're never free from sin, they're never free from the world, they're never free from the devil, but they are kind of pictures. But there's these other comforting words here of Jesus that we should point out. Jesus is the one preparing these abiding places for us, and he's no ordinary builder. Jesus is coming to take us there, and there's plenty of room for all of us, no overcrowding. So we have perfect peace, perfect beauty, without equal. No monastery, no mansion, no castle, no home comes even close to the home of Jesus' Father. And then we come to the second set of words that are calming and comforting, and they are said in response to Thomas's question, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And we have Jesus' well-known response, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So, how do these words provide comfort for the troubled heart? When Jesus says, "I am the way," he is contrasting himself with opposing or contrary ways. In other words, he's saying, "This way, not that way. That is not the way to my Father's house. If you go that way, it's not only a dead end, but it will end in destruction." And Jesus talked about this before in other verses. For example, in John chapter 10, he said, "I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." But another thing that Jesus is implying by calling himself the way is the method. The method by which he becomes the way for you to the Father's house. In other words, his method is his work, his ransoming, his redemption, Christ becoming the Lamb of God on the cross to take away the sins of the world. Jesus was the only one capable of dealing with, and who actually did deal with, the human predicament, the great human failure, the fall into sin, the great failure we find within ourselves. That's what makes him the way. No other way does this. And that means I am not the way for myself, let alone anybody else. You are not the way for yourself or anybody else. Any other religion or worldview or way of living is not the way, because none of them are able to deal with the sin reality. Only God himself could fix that. And he did when he became a man. As the Apostle Paul said, 2 Corinthians 5, God made the one who did not know sin, Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What about Jesus being the truth? Well, again, he's contrasting himself, the truth, with what is not the truth, with lies regarding how to get to the Father's house. But by calling himself the truth, he is also saying, and this is what the Greek word also implies, that he is completely trustworthy, completely reliable. He will not fail. Again, think of who it is who is on the cross. It is not your grandmother. It is not your best friend. It is not your dad. It is not your pastor. They obviously would all fail if they tried to fix the sin problem for you. It was God. And he could not fail. He is the truth. And then we have that phrase of his, I am the life. And what does that mean? Again, think of what is the opposite of life. Death. We do not like death. We fear death. And Jesus is saying he is the antidote, the answer to death. It's interesting, when Jesus uses the word life, he very often has an adjective in front of life. He has the word eternal. Especially see this in the Gospel of John, where he has eternal life 17 times compared to the other Gospels, which usually have, I think it's 5 or less times wherein he talks about eternal life. But eternal life. Eternal life means no eternal death. Another parallel passage is from John 10 again, where Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance. Or as another translation says, have it to the full. Or we could also say, have it to a surpassing and uncommon and unheard of degree. You know, such a life begins now. Now. Imagine the comfort this is for troubled hearts. For your troubled heart. When you have to face whatever. Fear and sin, and sickness, depression, loneliness, conflict, hatred, when your family maybe seems to be falling apart, in times of hopelessness, when of course you have to face death. These words and this reality, I am the life, they calm the troubled heart. So putting this second set of words together, again, Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Why? Because I and I alone am the way. My innocent suffering and death alone has paid for your sins. Because I and I alone am the truth. It was me, God, who was on the cross. So this is a sure thing. Because I and I alone am the life. Eternal death will never touch you. I defeated it. Again, tremendous comfort for the troubled heart. And then we have the third set of words that calm the troubled heart. And they follow the comment of Philip, who said, Lord, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. Philip perhaps was indicating that he had this hesitancy or this fear of going to the Father. Jesus, just show the Father to us now. Give us a glimpse of him here, and that will be enough. In that way, Jesus, you don't have to go to him, and so you won't have to leave us. But whatever Philip was meaning, he was demonstrating a lack of understanding of the Father and the Son, and their unity in working together. So Jesus responds by saying, the one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? You know, Jesus here was not denying the separate persons of the triune God. He was not blending them together as if in some sense they were one and the same. He was talking about their unity in heart, in purpose, in will, which would reveal itself in the words and works of Jesus, what he would say and what he would do. So I was trying to think of an illustration that would help us understand that. And here's the one I came up with. There have been times in my life when I've had to deal with people who are really stressed out, really stressed out. Sometimes they have been friends of my children. And the people who are stressed out don't necessarily know me or who I am. And so I go to them, and the first thing I say to them is, I am Noah's father, okay? Or I am Maggie or Marn's father. And all of a sudden, there's this comfort that comes to them. They say, oh, I didn't know who you were, but now that you tell me who you are, I can trust you. Okay? And that's kind of what's going on here. So let's apply that here. Imagine coming into the presence of God the Father Almighty without knowing anything about God the Son, about Jesus. What would you know about this God if Christ were not in the picture? Would you know that he loves the world? No. Would you know that he loves you? No. Without Christ, you would not know those things. But if you know that God the Son came for you, lived for you, died for you, paid sins for you, rose for you, and right now is right next to God the Father, he's at his right hand, then you know something about God the Father. In fact, when you know Jesus and what he did, you know everything you need to know about God the Father. Because the Father is the one who sent his Son to do all this. We only know God, the true God, the Almighty God, in Christ. And the only Christ we know is the one revealed in the Holy Scriptures. And the Christ revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures is the one sent to us by God to die for us. And so we've just kind of made a full circle here, you might say. The true God, the Almighty God, loves us, and we know that because of Christ. Or as Paul said in Romans 5, God proves his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So again, comfort for the troubled heart. Some days my heart seems pretty much at peace. Other days can be quite the opposite, perhaps for you also. So, knowing Jesus has gone to prepare the most beautiful and peaceful abode for me and for you, where I will be with my dearest and truest family, knowing that he is the way because of his work, that he is the truth, that is, he is completely faithful, reliable, that he is the life, the best life, the eternal life, and that his Father has loved me and loved you and still loves me and still loves you to this very minute, no less than Jesus, who died for me and you. And that's where we rest today. And tomorrow, when our hearts are troubled again, we do the same. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.